Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Thanks for listening all this week. And today, if you've been listening to this lead segment of the show, we've been doing call-ins for different groups of you on the tax cut compromise between President Obama and Republican leaders. We opened the phones for progressives on day one, Tea Party supporters on day two, moderates and independents yesterday. And today, to end the week, I actually want to return to you in President Obama's liberal base, because this is where the anger and opposition persist and have the most political importance as well. The House Democratic Caucus voted against this yesterday. More than 50 House Democrats sent a letter of dissent. But now that you've had a chance to count to 10, listeners, does the president's tax cut compromise look as bad as it did at first blush? 212-433-WNYC or post to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. You know, conservative columnist Charles Krauthammer, published locally in the Daily News, has this piece today that starts like this. The headline, by the way, is Obama Prevails, Dems Complain. And it says Barack Obama won the great tax cut showdown of 2010, and House Democrats don't have a clue that he did. In the deal struck this week, the president negotiated the biggest stimulus in American history, larger than his $814 billion 2009 stimulus package. It will pump a trillion borrowed Chinese dollars into the U.S. economy over the next 2 years, which just happened to be the 2 years of the run-up to the next presidential election. This is a defeat? Krauthammer asks. And he adds, at great cost that will have to be paid after this newest free lunch, the package will add as much as 1% to GDP and lower the unemployment rate. This is conservative columnist Charles Krauthammer predicting that this will lower the unemployment rate by about 1.5 percentage points. And he says that could easily be the difference between victory and defeat for Obama in 2010. So liberals and progressives, are you reconsidering? 212-433-WNYC or post to itsafreecountry.org. This deal has 13 months of unemployment when the Republicans wanted none. It has a payroll tax holiday for 2011, considered pure stimulus. Child and college and earned income tax credits that the Republicans had opposed, all in exchange for just a 2-year extension of 4.5 points lower tax rates for the wealthy from the Bush income tax levels, and that compromise on the estate tax. So call us up. And tell, okay, our lines are already full, so you have to wait for people to finish. But is this really such a surrender? Go and post while people are on hold to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, and start this conversation. We'll also talk to a guest in a few minutes who I think is still not pleased, from the liberal economics think tank, the Economic Policy Institute. But as your calls are coming in, I also want to play an extended excerpt from the president's rant against you, the people formerly known as his strongest supporters. I know you've heard the sound bites from this, but those were the 20-second sound bites mostly in newscasts, and very few people actually heard or saw the news conference, which happened around 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday. So just so you can hear it, to come away chastised or to come away insulted or whatever, this actually went on for about 5 minutes. As the answer to the last question in the news conference, here is a 3-minute slice.
You know, so this notion that somehow, we are willing to compromise too much reminds me of the debate that we had during healthcare. This is the public option debate all over again. So I pass a signature piece of legislation where we finally get health care for all Americans, something that Democrats had been fighting for 100 years, but because there was a provision in there that they didn't get that would have affected maybe a couple of million people, even though we got health insurance for 30 million people and the potential for lower premiums for 100 million people, that somehow that was a sign of weakness and compromise. Now, if that's the standard by which we are measuring success or core principles, then let's face it, we will never get anything done. People will have the satisfaction of having a purist position and no victories for the American people. And we will be able to feel good about ourselves and sanctimonious about how pure our intentions are and how tough we are. And in the meantime, the American people are still seeing themselves not able to get health insurance because of pre-existing condition, or not being able to pay their bills because their unemployment insurance ran out. That can't be the measure of how we think about our public service. That can't be the measure of what it means to be a Democrat. This is a big, diverse country. Not everybody agrees with us. I know that shocks people. You know, the New York Times editorial page does not permeate across all of America. Neither does the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Most Americans, they're just trying to figure out how to go about their lives and how can we make sure that our elected officials are looking out for us. And that means because it's a big, diverse country and people have a lot of complicated positions, it means that in order to get stuff done, we're going to compromise. This is why FDR, when he started Social Security, it only affected widows and orphans. You did not qualify. And yet now it is something that really helps a lot of people. When Medicare was started, it was a small program. It grew. Under the criteria that you just set out, each of those were betrayals of some abstract ideal.
President Obama, from his Tuesday news conference, and the question on the table, now that you've had a chance to count to 10, does the president's tax cut compromise look as bad as it did at first blush? Answer yes or answer no. On our politics website, it's afreecountry.org. You'll see this open thread for you right on the homepage. Our lines are full. We'll go to your calls in just a minute. With us now is Lawrence Michel, president of the Economic Policy Institute, liberal think tank. Hey, Lawrence, thanks for coming on. Good morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
Have you reconsidered since Monday night?
Well, let me articulate where I'm at on all this. And I think we have to separate out three things. One is, what is the economic impact of what's in the deal as it stands? Two, what kind of economic policy dynamics does it set in place? And three is all the political calculations, which have to do with using this battle to, in fact, be able to show who stands for what. And I'm an economist, so I'm going to mostly stick to the first two. Okay, but let me just go through those. One, this is a deal that actually provides more stimulus about jobs and lowering unemployment than I would have expected a week ago. And I met with the president on Tuesday, and he said much more than he thought is available a month ago if you had asked him. Let me just explain that. You know, the Republicans did what they do, which is they defend the ability of people with great wealth to be able to have very little taxes on their inheritances and to cut back on the taxes they pay on their incomes. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. What the president got was a 13-month continuation of the unemployment program, which most of us here in Washington didn't think we were going to be able to get. And that's a very important thing for both helping the unemployed and maintaining jobs. Two, you got the middle class tax cuts preserved. Three, there was this payroll tax holiday, which was sort of a new thing. It replaces what his own tax credit, which is called Making Work Pay, and boosts, some stimulus into the economy because it gives money to people who are going to spend it, which is what we need right now, raises the deficit, which is what we need right now.
Pure stimulus.
And provides some more jobs.
Pure stimulus, and it's a progressive tax cut because it expires at $106,000 of income.
Well, it's actually far from as progressive as what his own Making Work Pay credit was, tell you the truth, because for at least for the bottom fifth, it's only half as good, but it is much better than anything you know, Bush ever did, and it's decent. So let me just talk about some of the dynamics. He also threw a lot of money at business that was a waste of money in terms of 100% expensing of certain investments, okay? And that was from him. That was not from the Republicans. Let me just mention three things about the dynamics. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I think, misguided hysteria about the deficit going on right now, in part enabled by the president himself. If this debate can go two directions, it can either sabotage all that hysteria because clearly both the Democrats and the Republicans are complete hypocrites about this. The Republicans, because they're hypocrites because these tax cuts for the rich, they'd like that to be deficit finance, but they're not willing to have deficit finance unemployment benefits. For some reason, a dollar being taken out of a rich person's pocket is really horrible for the economy, but a dollar in the pocket of an unemployed worker doesn't help the economy whatsoever, okay? And on the Democrat side, you know, they obviously now have to defend raising the deficit. But that actually is good policy. So if we blow up the deficit discussion, that's good. But it also could be that what people are going to do, the Republicans and some of the
But he did do it. Let me, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate here and defending on all these points. But I think these are – I do legitimately think these are points that haven't been discussed all that much. That's what the liberal economists want to do. That's what you want to do. That's what Paul Krugman wants to do, is expand the deficit right now. Even the Deficit Reduction Commission and the Alternative Deficit Reduction Commission even more, the Bipartisan Policy Center one, took the position that because we're still in such an unemployment emergency and a growth emergency, we actually should expand the deficit right now with more stimulus, and that's exactly what he did.
Well, I'll just I sort of agree with you and sort of don't. I don't think the President's Commission did not actually recommend more upfront stimulus, although the Bipartisan Policy Commission did.
Fair enough.
And they both are exceedingly misguided because they say we can start deficit reduction next fall. The end of 2011, when we now expect unemployment to be 9%. So they try to fool people that they really care about recovery when I don't really believe they do. Okay, but let me go on to the other danger about this is that both some of the Democrats in the House and in the Senate and some of the Republicans are going to say, well, now that we've done this tax deal and the deficit is that much bigger, we're going to have to cut that much more spending. Okay? So it could go two ways. I'm more fearful of this latter way.
It could backfire in that respect.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Then the other problems are if you extend the tax cuts for the rich and the estate tax at a very weakened level.
2 years.
It raises the probability that stuff may become permanent. Okay? And you have to depend upon what is the politics at that moment.
And then
election to win that.
Right. Last thing before we take some calls. The president says on that there was no better alternative once the Democrats lost the election in the House. If the Congress or the president had done this 6 months ago, maybe they would have had a stronger hand to play. But none of the things that you and he wanted that you've just been articulating were possible beyond what he got. The only thing that would have been possible was allowing all the tax cuts to expire, which is what would have happened if there was gridlock and stalemate, and that wouldn't have been fair to the middle class, not to mention political suicide.
Yeah, well, that's a judgment. That's a judgment about the political dynamic that I'm not sure is true or not true. What could happen, the other side of that, and I'm going to rest this as an economist, not a politician, is that even if you let the taxes expire and all the taxes go up, then you get people's attention. You then have a much fervent debate, and you actually get people to pay attention to who's defending the rich and who's defending the middle class. Now, if you believe that such a political battle is a good thing, and then if you think that those people who are against the tax cuts for the rich will fare well in the communications battle there, then you want to fight. If you're afraid of that, which I think is what the president is, then you don't want it. Mm-hmm.
Lawrence Michel, president of the liberal think tank, the Economic Policy Institute, and Saul in Long Beach. You're on WNYC. Thank you for your patience. You're on the air.
You're welcome. Good morning. I'm still against the bargain that President Obama did with the Republicans, especially now that I saw all the other issues that he agreed to. For example, the fact that the investment credit is going to be immediately to large corporations, and they're sitting on money right now that they're not spending. Why aren't they spending it now? Why do they need a tax credit to force them to spend it? Number two, as far as that goes, they're also not forced to buy American. I mean, they could use the tax credits to buy Chinese windmills like they're doing in Texas. I mean, it's just not a very equitable arrangement that he made, besides destroying the budget.
So,
and I think that was wrong for him to do that. And
you mean
my grandchildren are going to be paying for it.
You didn't want him to extend the deficit to do this. Linda in West Caldwell, you're at WNYC. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Well, I really think the Democrats need to draw a line in the sand now, because they didn't, you know, they were real wimps during the election, and the Republicans were all about the deficit, and now they want to give all this money to the top 1%. It's crap, and I just really think they need to stand by this now. I've heard so many people complain about the bailouts. They should be crying about giving all this money to the rich people. That's how I feel.
Are you how did you feel listening to the president's rant against the base? Was that the first time you had heard that in full?
Yeah, it is. I'm getting to be very disillusioned with Obama. I'm glad they got the health care through, but you know, the Republicans, you know, were going to support them and then they didn't. And I just, you know, I don't trust them at all. And I really think that coming into this next Congress, when of course they're going to have the House, and the Senate's not going to have, you know, the number of Democrats that it used to, that they're going to really have to fight.
They shouldn't just roll over about
everything.
You don't buy this as stimulus too? Did you hear the Charles Krauthammer thing, conservative columnist, where he says it's really the Republicans who got rolled here because they did exactly what the liberal economists wanted. Well, not exactly after hearing Lawrence Michel, but borrowed another $1 trillion for stimulus now, even though a lot of that is in Bush tax cuts.
But all that other spending? I'm not an economist. I didn't look at all the details, but I'm just really furious about the fact that the Republicans were so, you know, the deficit, which they caused with these tax cuts, and now they still want to give this money to the rich. I can't stomach it anymore.
Thank you for your call. James in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Reconsidering?
No, I also am upset with Obama, that I feel that he is I know the old saying, you bend, you don't want to break, but he's bending too much, and I'm really more upset about the payroll tax, because that's going to affect Social Security in the future, and I think that's what the Republicans want to get rid of. The estate tax for the rich, well, that's a no-brainer, they get richer. The fact that it seems like majority of this tax cut is going to benefit them. They've got so much money. If they live to be a thousand, they couldn't spend it all, and yet they want more. I don't understand it. The poor people are in trouble. Obviously, there's no jobs out here, and the middle class, well, they're getting squeezed to death. I don't know. They're laying off everybody, and I work for the city, laying off like crazy. It's I don't know what to say. It's very discouraging out here now.
James, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye bye.
And so, Lawrence, Michelle, before you go, you want to talk back to Charles Krauthammer? You know, he says it's the Republicans who got rolled here. I'll read this again. His headline, Obama prevailed. Our listeners are just tuning in at different times. So Obama prevails, Dems complain. Barack Obama won the great tax cut showdown of 2010, and House Democrats don't have a clue that he did. In the deal struck this week, the president negotiated the biggest stimulus in American history at great cost that will have to be paid after this newest free lunch. The package will add 1% to GDP, as much as, and lower the unemployment rate. Even he says it'll lower the unemployment rate by 1.5 percentage points, which could easily be the difference between victory and defeat in 2012.
Well, I want to comment on two things, the president and on Krauthammer. First, I want to state that I'm speaking from the think tank that actually launched the debate on the public option, incubated it with Jacob Hacker from Yale University, and I supported his health care plan. And it's not true that all progressives thought that the public option meant that, you know, you're either you got the public option and it was a good health care plan or not. So I think the president is misguided in painting too broad a brush and attacking his base. I think it's ridiculous that, you know, the people that are really stopping his agenda are the Republicans and the moderate Democrats, especially those in the Senate. And for him to go after sanctimonious liberals, except for the, you know, the cynical deficit peacocks, I think is really misguided. On Krauthammer, I think he doesn't know what he's talking about, because there's no way this actually lowers the unemployment rate by 1.5%. I'm collecting all the different estimates. It'll be less than 0.5%, which is, I think, you know, a good thing to do. But the second thing is, as Paul Krugman has pointed out, that what this does is it raises growth and lowers the unemployment in 2011, but it actually slows growth in 2012, and you get a weaker decline in the unemployment rate in 2012 because you're improving 2011. And if you're a political scientist and you believe that what happens in the economy in the 9 months or so before the election is what really matters, then this is good for the country in a way of giving us progress earlier. But politically, it may not be the smarter thing to do.
Lawrence Michel, president of the Economic Policy Institute, we really appreciate you continuing this conversation with us. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
And many of you are continuing it on our politics webpage, itsafreecountry.org. Great conversation really going on with people on various sides of this, who most of whom have started as Obama supporters, from Doran from Williamsburg, who wrote Obama is a sellout, to Mary from Clinton Hill, who wrote, the president's speech you just played was amazing. The Medicare and Social Security history illustrates exactly the notion of not letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. I love the bit about the rest of the country not reading the New York Times op-ed. I fought hard for ending the Bush tax cuts for the rich, but I have faith in our president again. So a lot of people on, you know, either side of that one, and great conversation going on. Keep this going, because this is one of the most important conversations we could be having right now at itsafreecountry.org, our politics website. This is right on the homepage. And more here on the radio in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening.